We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
This is AJ and Dusty.
All right, listen up. I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
With AJ McCord.
That beer's getting better, I admit that. But you're still weak on the left side.
And Dusty Hera.
And I noticed that he wears those leopard-spotted underwear, bikini style, sir.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
What kind of power?
Good afternoon, happy Monday to you, the 19th of April, 2021. Dusty Hera, she's back.
Yes.
AJ McCord, how are you?
I'm good. Such a pretty weekend we had.
It was very nice weather. Very nice weather. I got my tan on. Will Darkens, our producer here, too.
He didn't get his tan on.
He did not.
There's no way.
He's the man who goes to Hawaii for the indoors.
The man who, the
wait,
only
that,
man
wait, hold on. What was
in
it?
Recorded history wait, to come back from Hawaii whiter than when he left.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
That is what you're looking for.
That's right. Oh, boy.
Oy, oy, oy.
Have you ever gotten sick on vacation?
I don't think so. Mm. Maybe once or twice. I actually kind of remember altitude sickness a few times, but not anything.
I don't do anything where I need to get altitude sick.
Well, it was like skiing. I got altitude sick one time.
Again, I don't do anything where I can get altitude sick.
You don't get high, Dusty?
No. Nope.
Really high in the air?
Ooh. I did go to Mexico City once. Yeah, I think that was more
did
the
you get sick?
Pollution than the altitude, but it could have been either one.
You drink the water there?
I don't think so.
No, I didn't. Mm. What do you mean you don't know?
I mean,
Mexico City's higher than Denver.
Really?
Yeah. Mexico City's way up there. It's at the top of a mountain.
Oh, yeah. 7,382 feet.
It's way up there.
Who would have thunk it?
What's Denver?
5,280 feet. You pick this ball up, you run every one of them.
In your face, Denver. Mexico City. It was definitely the pollution, though. I think it was the pollution. Because it's like in a bowl.
Oh.
And so like the pollution just sits right in there, right at the top
makes
of this
sense.
Mountain, and it just hovers. It was hard to breathe. Beautiful city though.
Why did you ask if we got sick? Oh, because we were talking about Will in Hawaii?
And going inside because you stay inside. I've got a good friend. His wife got sick on their honeymoon.
Ooh.
And so she was like, go and enjoy like the pool area. So he just went and he hung out by the pool, made some new friends by
oh
the
my
pool.
Gosh.
Well, she was sick on their honeymoon.
That's unfortunate.
That would suck.
That would be no fun at all.
Speaking of altitude sickness, I thought I had it when I went and played at the Sun Bowl in El Paso.
That's a hangover, brother.
Oh, not a hangover. No, not
you
a hangover.
No.
Not a hangover. Yeah. It was, they told us before we left, this is back in 9, I think. No, this is back in 08. And they told us before we left for El Paso, they go, now check it out. It's going to be a little bit of elevation, so you might notice your breathing's a little bit heavy. At this point in my football career, I was copping about 245, 247.
Attaboy.
About there in terms of weight. I do my run, warm-up lap around the around the old field there. Then I come back and I'm breathing a little bit heavy. I go like this up to my coach. And I go, man, that altitude, it gets to you pretty quick. And he goes, yeah, I think it's because you're fat.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And he goes, you need to lose weight.
Yeah, it's your fat butt, Will.
Oh, my goodness.
But he wasn't wrong.
Very harsh.
Dude, 245, that was a lot to carry.
Reminds me of the movie Knocked Up. When they're like, you're just going to have to, we can't tell you you have to lose weight. So if you could just step on the scale and then subtract 5.
You just, tighten up,
tighten it up. Oh, yeah. Oh, on that Mexico City trip, my son got two different types of pneumonia, though.
Oh, poor buddy.
So that was sick on a vacation. I've never been sick on vacay, which is a great thing to have.
That's a great record.
Or I don't go on vacations enough.
Well,
there's also that.
You
know what I'd like to do in my back half of my life? I'd like to become worldly traveled.
Okay. Where's the first place you want to go?
Europe.
Just
all of
the whole thing?
Uh-huh.
Nothing specific.
Nope. I don't care if it's Italy, France, Spain.
Fair.
One of them.
One of them?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Deal.
Or Bora Bora. I know those are completely different.
Very different vibe.
Yeah, but I'm not picky.
Okay.
I'm not picky at all.
Fair
I just
enough.
Want to become more worldly traveled.
Okay. Because
I'm not at all. I've never crossed the pond.
You've never crossed the pond?
Either one. Hawaii's the
Either
furthest.
Either one. The other one's not called a pond, I don't think.
Why not?
It's an ocean.
Why don't they go? Oh, so we got a pond and an ocean.
Yes.
Pacific's
bigger.
I think our Asian brothers to the west would say, we've got a pond too that you can cross and come over and visit us.
Well, it's not a matter of not wanting to visit. I think it's just bigger.
Name one person from China you've ever talked to. Like, who's Chinese that's lived there.
Can you name someone who's lived in Europe that you've talked to?
Yes.
Yeah, Mark Hamilton.
Oh, well.
He works
okay.
here.
Well, there's one, yeah.
Yeah.
I talked to plenty of Europeans when I went to France.
Huh. Oh. Interesting.
Yeah. When you backpacked?
I would love to go to Japan.
Across France in your gap year, bud.
Did you do that?
I really discovered myself. No.
Oh.
No, I went there for, I was dating a woman at the time and it was long distance and she originally went to NYU, but then she spent a year in France and I was like, oh, it's a good excuse to go to France.
Yes.
So I did that one summer for like 2 weeks.
Yes. I was supposed to go visit. My sister was studying abroad in Europe and then COVID. So I didn't get to go visit her.
Oh, sucks.
I know. It was unfortunate, but that I've does been across suck. The pond, so I can't complain too much.
I did know a guy in college who said that he wanted to go study some broads too.
Oh gosh.
Because, and this is the honest truth, he thought like when he was told
no, he didn't.
Study abroad.
No, he did not.
He was like going to Spain to study abroad. And he was like, yeah, I want to go study me some broads too.
No, he didn't. Oh my gosh.
Wow, that's pretty stupid.
See, so those are the people that you're like, actually, I'd rather you not go because you're not representing the country well.
Yeah.
So actually, no, you're not allowed to go. That's what I would say.
Excuse
if
me.
If that's what you think, I don't want you representing us over there.
I saw a McDonald's, but where is the Burger King?
Let me slow down and speak louder.
Oh, dear.
My wife lived in England, and I'm always jealous of that, though. People that were able to go and study abroad.
I know.
Like, I really am, like, super jealous of that.
Yeah, that would be fun.
My wife grew up in Wales.
Wow.
So, like, she spent all of her life there. And then she came to college at Oregon State. And it was really weird because when I first met her and we were friends, she had this very strong British accent. And now she sounds like she's a California Valley girl. It's really weird. And even if you ask her now, you're like, just do the accent. She literally can't do it. Like in her head, really? She can't like compromise it. And I was like, why do you think you sound like this now? Like you're from California. And she's like, I don't know. You know, when I got here, I started watching reality TV.
Oh, no.
She's like, I don't know. For some reason that just stuck. And so as I heard more people on TV and then more people from California who I became friends with in college, I just kind of picked it up.
Who is it? There's a professional athlete that said SpongeBob. He picked up started picking up
English
watching SpongeBob.
Huh.
I can't remember who that is.
We used to get assigned when I was studying Spanish. We used to get assigned like Spanish soaps to watch to try and learn.
Yeah, I remember
the
that.
Language.
Or you'd watch a Spanish movie or something.
Yeah, or we'd listen to a lot of Enrique Iglesias.
Ooh, for real?
Oh yeah.
Maybe some Ricky
still,
Martin.
I can still probably sing most of Enrique Iglesias because that's how they taught us Spanish for much of.
Oh, it was Enes Kanter. Yeah. SpongeBob, it was Enes Kanter who said that he learned English by watching the show.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Enes Kanter is
according
like
to Google
the mystery that will never be solved. He's one of the most. He could be when he retires. I know he wants to go into WWE, but he could also be in that commercial for Most Interesting Man in the World.
Yeah, he said the car. He said Enes Kanter credits SpongeBob and Jersey Shore.
See, it's reality TV, man.
Gosh.
I'm telling you, my wife has a master's degree in social work psychology. Like, she's just smart. She's smarter than me. But, like, if you talk to her and you hear her talking like this, like that, you're like, what? How are you from Wales? What's going on here? Yeah.
Also, I'd like to credit Will for refraining when AJ said, have you ever talked to anybody from Europe? Quite literally, the person you talk to the most is from Europe.
Yeah, I had no idea. Yeah. That's fun. Yeah. But that's also probably why you speak to a lot more Europeans. I don't speak to people who lived in Europe.
Yeah, I guess her side of the family, yeah, I speak
right.
with them.
And, yeah, and her friend group. And so you have a very close tie.
That's true.
Across the pond.
Yeah.
That a lot of us don't have.
I'm going to become more worldly traveled.
Perfect.
Final answer.
It's on the bucket list.
Bingo.
Done.
When are you going to do that?
Now is the time to buy airplane tickets, yeah. Even if you like opt to buy them for next summer.
I got my vaccine. I'm good.
I know.
Good. Let's go. Let's go. Mask up and we'll hop on this thing.
Why don't you pack up your family and go to
I'm good.
Finland or something?
No, I'm good.
Or like...
I can't imagine traveling.
I've heard Iceland is awesome.
I want to go to Iceland so badly. Right. They're very well known for their waterfalls over there.
They are what?
Yeah, they're very well known for waterfalls over there. Mm. Like, they've got really epic waterfalls.
And the spas, the hot springs.
I just usually stick to the rivers and lakes that I'm used to.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that one, AJ?
I think I might quit. Mm-hmm. I think that might be it for me.
What's that line from?
What that line is from. I'm not going to sing it.
Then just say it.
The TLC song.
TLC reference done for the day.
You think I don't know that?
I don't know that
freaking waterfalls I chase in Oregon? Come on.
Here we go.
You're insulting.
All right.
I'm offended.
Whoa.
Hello. We will speak of the Europeans today on the show.
Oh.
I don't know if...
We shall?
I don't know if our guest at 12:30 is European, but he covers soccer for CBS Sports. His name's Mike Goodman.
Yep.
We're going to have Super Leagues happening.
So this is really funny because this morning when I got a text from you about soccer,
yes,
I was like, wow, Dusty's really committing to this coaching thing.
Yeah.
Oh. We went from zero to 300 in one weekend.
Let's not kid ourselves. It is no coincidence that they are saying the game of soccer is ruined. And I coached my first game this past weekend. The Super League happening and the damn ugly Americans are the reason for it going on over in France. France and Germany are not joining forces, but Spain, Italy, and England. Look, they're trying to ruin and Americanize the game of soccer, and they're having none of it over there. So we're going to have Mike Goodman on because, look, it does mean something to American sports. It's actually very connected to the way of American sports and how different it is. So we'll talk to Mike Goodman, a CBS sports soccer expert at 12:30. We've got our Monday musings at 1:15.
I'm excited about that.
And then Tyson Alger of The Athletic will join us at 1:30 because, hey, the Ducks scrimmaged yesterday. No, Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah.
They practiced. I think it was a little bit of a scrimmage.
They scrimmaged.
Yeah.
And practice
fans were in there, though.
1,500 of them.
Watch out.
1,500 fans. How about that? 8,000 going to be there for the spring game.
I know.
Which you can hear right here on The Fan, May 1st.
That's what it's
2 o'clock.
Yep. And then the Beavers are May 8th, I believe. Yes, they are. I'm going to answer my own question.
Boom.
They're May 8th.
There you go, Will. All right, but where we got to start? Oh, boy. They did it again. The way Carmelo shined in yesterday's loss is the concerning part. AJ and Dusty.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Just when you think you've seen it all, you see something better. There's your momentum.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
Well, that was the call on Bally Sports South in North Carolina as Miles Bridges posterized CJ McCollum. As the Blazers, was that the most lopsided 8-point loss in franchise history? Down as many as 25 points in the first quarter, down as many as 29 in the game. The Portland Trail Blazers just came out flat. They looked flat from start to finish. And I mean, look, they erased a large portion of that lead and they ended up losing by single digits. But that game was not close by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it wasn't. And I was watching the game yesterday. We sort of had it on. We're doing some stuff around the house. And I was like, oh, it's the first quarter. Catch up, you know, whatever. My husband comes out and he goes, the Hornets have scored like 40. And I was like, wait, the game just started.
Again.
And he was like, I know.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I got to pay attention. It was not good.
And this is the thing that, like, this is where it is frustrating as a fan, as somebody who watches every game, is that you can't just chalk this up to, hey, the Hornets were just on fire.
No.
Because, like, that dunk that we just played, the defense, and it was, like, Melo was on ball, and it was bad on Melo's part, but everybody else, the defense on that was absolutely horrific. All five guys on the floor. And you can just sit there and you go, all right, yeah, the Hornets did knock down shots, and
totally.
There were a lot of open shots. It was a horrifically defended game again, and It didn't matter that Terry Stotts started Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, which I don't get why. I don't, like, he's on the team. He's on his second 10-day contract. I still don't understand for the life of me why he started for the Trailblazers.
I have no idea, especially when you have Derrick Jones Jr. I mean, they weren't hurting for bodies. The only person out yesterday was Dame and Zach. So it's not like they were hurting for people. And I guess if you're Terry Stotts at this point, it feels like you're just throwing everything at the wall and praying that something sticks. And this was throwing something at the wall, but it did not stick. It should not stick.
No.
And the problem that I have is with transition defense, because for me, transition defense, that is almost an effort issue, right? Like, it's one thing to get outshot. It's one thing for them to knock down crazy shots. But when you get beat in transition, you get beat in transition. And it's not a skill thing. It's an effort thing. They beat you back down the court, and that's why they had the open shot.
No doubt about it. And when you look at it and you go, this team just looks like a team that's playing for themselves and not each other, right?
Yes.
Like, that has kind of been the hallmark and the staple of Damian Lillard teams, and what Terry Stotts has been able to do is bring guys together, because that game devolved into just, all right, screw it. Things aren't going our way. We're just going to start chucking up shots. Like, no wonder, like, Melo had a great second half. And
totally.
Melo did. He was at 7 for 14, 5 of 9, and he had, you know, 19 points in the second half. A lot of it was, hey, give me mine, and let's go. And, like, that is Carmelo Anthony. Like, that's, hey, isolation and playing kind of, if you want to call it, hero ball.
Yep.
He's made a long and illustrious career out of it. And it's no wonder that he shined in that game, because that's his style, right? And that's not a knock against Melo, but it is against a team that has now dropped five of their last 12 games. You know, they're 5-7 over their last 12 games. The same record as the Dallas Mavericks, coincidentally, who are chasing them. But you're looking at a team just like, it does not look cohesive. And it doesn't matter it happened before the last two games, mm-hmm. before Dame got hurt too. It has not been there, but it was highlighted in yesterday's loss.
In four of their last 11 games, they've given up 40-point quarters.
And this has got to be close to a franchise record of how many 40-point quarters they've given up in a season.
I only went back to March 28th because that's how much time I had to go back to. And I'll do more research.
There is an element of, I know that, you know, Terry Stotts is always big on, even they have a bad quarter like that. He even said it yesterday's post game. It was, well, I mean, we lost the first, but, you know, we won the other quarters. Well, here's a problem. You're getting throttled and you're down 25 in that first quarter. Like, it doesn't matter if you win quarters 2 through 4. The team is in a massive hole because you give up 40-point quarters.
And it's the Hornets.
Yeah, it ain't exactly the Milwaukee Bucks.
Nope.
Utah Jazz that you're giving it up to.
Two of the four teams since March 28th that they've given up 40-point quarters to have been teams barely either out of the playoff race or barely hanging on in the Eastern Conference. So they gave up 44 to the Hornets yesterday, 40 to the Jazz in the third quarter on the 8th, a franchise record 47 in the first quarter against the Clippers on April 3rd, and then 41 in the first quarter against the Raptors on March 28th. So two of those four teams, the Raptors and the Hornets, are bottom of the Eastern Conference playoff standings or out of it in the Hornets' case. 24 games, in the Raptors' case. 24 games the Raptors have won this season.
I ain't too proud to beg, and all we're asking for is a little bit of defense here. You know?
Just a smidge.
That is what you said, like the transition. Mm-hmm. It's an effort thing.
Right.
Right?
And it's so interesting because, again, you talk about Blazers, Damian Lillard's teams, Terry Stotts' teams. You can point to a lot of problems over the years, but one of them has been these teams always come together. They always fight for each other. That is one of the things you hear year in, year out, regardless of where they finish in the standings, regardless of whether they get swept. It doesn't matter. The other thing is that consistently you hear every player talk about how much they love playing for Terry Stotts. Mm-hmm. Right? You talk about how you hear players like Dame, like CJ, like Nurk talking about how much they love it. Well, it's not a secret, I don't think, that someone's job is on the line if the Blazers underperform to this extent for the rest of the season. And the easiest person to point to is Terry Stotts. Head coach is a very easy fall guy with a roster mm-hmm. with this much talent. So if these players really like playing for Terry Stotts, you better put forth some effort because it's his job on the line.
And you look, with that in mind, CJ was brutal yesterday offensively, 8 of 22 from the field, 2 of 8 from 3. The starters combined to go 4 of 19 from beyond the arc. Like, that is where, you know, it wasn't just a defensive effort thing. You know, they scored 101 points. Like, shots mm-hmm. weren't falling for them either. And this is a team where it sounds stupid. You got to outscore your opponent, but they need to get into track meets. And,
right.
they, you know, 1-on-1 ain't going to get it done when you're playing defense the way the Blazers do this year.
Nope.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, 109, 101. Hey, I guess it's not all terrible. Like, all terrible because the Mavericks lost to the Kings.
That's so. Also true. But really, again, not who you want to be comparing yourself to.
Nope.
You want to be talking about what are the Jazz doing? What are the Suns doing? What are the Nuggets doing?
Great point. All right. Soccer across the pond. It's getting a little hairier.
I'm here for your soccer love. Just want you to know.
The Super League.
Here for it.
It's a thing.
Let's go.
What's going to happen? Mike Goodman covers soccer for CBS Sports. He'll join us after Will with SportsCenter. All right, big news this weekend out of European soccer. As I know, and I'm not even kidding. Big news as the Super League was announced, the formation of the Super League, which includes 6 Premier League teams, 3 from La Liga in Spain, and then 3 from Serie A in Italy. And it's a cash grab is what everybody's talking about right now. And UEFA has come out and FIFA have both had strong statements against it. And to kind of break it all down and see what it means to soccer, we bring on Mike Goodman, who covers soccer for CBS Sports. Thanks for taking a few minutes for us. How are you?
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me on, guys. It's not too often we get sort of the mainstream coverage for soccer, so I'm always happy to come on.
Exactly. I mean, this is huge news because they're saying in 2023, 2024, they want to start the Super League. But there is big pushback, not just from fans over in Europe, but from UEFA as well. On the surface of this, how much of this power play that they're calling it is maybe just for show, or is this a real thing where you could see them truly splitting apart?
Yeah, I think for the first time, everybody seems to believe this is a real possibility that could happen. Every few years, there is a sort of a contentious negotiation between UEFA, who runs the Champions League in Europe, which is the competition for the biggest teams from across the various leagues, and those big clubs, right? The big clubs always want a little more control, a little more power, a little more money. And so it's a give and take with UEFA as they negotiate the format of the tournament, how many dollars go to, you know, which clubs and all of that kind of stuff. And so every year, you know, every few years, this idea gets brought up. But this is the first time that major clubs across Europe have actually announced their intention to do it, that they've formulated plans, they've gotten funding, and, you know, sort of made this big splash. And I think there is some idea that this may be a bridge that you can't uncross once you've taken this step.
Okay. So they're serious. Super League.
Yeah, they absolutely mean business. Whether it ends up happening or not, there's going to be, you know, lawyers are going to get involved. Mm-hmm. UEFA and FIFA very much don't want this to happen because they don't want this kind of competition to be outside of their control. Fans don't really want this to happen because the idea that these clubs would automatically be in this Super League, this tournament every year, as opposed to having to qualify for it by winning in their own home countries, is an anathema to what European soccer has always been. There's a big difference.
And you talk...
Go ahead.
Well, so you talk about how European soccer typically is. Can you explain, because one of the things that we were talking about before the show is relegation and how that plays a big role in clubs and their prolonged success and things like that. So how can you explain that aspect of the Super League?
Philosophically, the way these leagues all work is that if you win, you get promoted to a bigger division. And if you lose, you get relegated to a lower division. So every year, the three worst teams in, say, the Premier League in England get relegated out of the Premier League into the second division, and the three best teams from the Championship, the second division, get pushed up. Then, at the top of the top division, teams can qualify to be in the Champions League. If you finish in the top four spots in England, you get to go to the Champions League. And then you play in, you know, this is the biggest tournament in Europe, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't finish in those four spots, you don't qualify. And the next year, you don't get to go to the Champions League. What the Super League changes is that fundamental structure. Mm. What the Super League is set up to do is these 12 founding teams would automatically be in it every season, no matter what. And that's just very, you know, it's not that different from American sports, but it's very, very different than what's come before in Europe.
Mike Goodman is our guest. CBS Sports covers soccer, and we're talking about the Super League, where you've got 12 teams that are saying, hey, we're going to split apart from, you know, the Champions League or the Premier League and the leagues that they play in, La Liga and Serie A. Right now, UEFA has been kind of the ones, and they actually announced expansion of the Champions League today, or plans to do so. But they've kind of had the strongest statements where they're going to try to stop these teams from being the players being eligible for the World Cup. Is that something, like, how is it that they can say, no way, we're going to draw that line in the sand? And is that something you think FIFA would do with the World Cup, is say, sorry, we're not going to let Ronaldo or Messi play in a World Cup?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So the first point to look at is UEFA, right? They mm-hmm. run European soccer. FIFA runs soccer
yep.
over the world, all over the world. So in UEFA, for UEFA, all of the various leagues in the various countries fall under their purview. So the Premier League in England, Serie A in Italy, you know, La Liga in Spain, you know, all of these leagues. And so UEFA is saying right now, if you break off and form your own Super League, basically to replace the Champions League, we are not going to let you play in your domestic league either. If you want to play in the Super League, you cannot also play in the Premier League. Well, usually the way it works is you play in the Premier League and the Champions League. Mm. So that's a major change, and that is not something the clubs want. This is UEFA's power play in response. This is the punishment that they are threatening to mete out if these 12 teams don't back down. And can they do that? It's an interesting question. You know, there will be lawyers involved. The various leagues obviously have something to say about this as well. It is really unclear how it all shakes out. Now, for things like the World Cup, that's FIFA's decision. And FIFA has been public about saying that they oppose the creation of this Super League. Would they take that step, and can they legally take that step, then, of saying that any player who plays in it is not eligible to play in the World Cup? I don't think anybody really knows how those contracts are drawn up and whether or not FIFA can do it and would, like, have the political will to do it. So a lot of what's going on right now is definitely posturing back and forth, and I don't really think we have a good grasp of how it'll all ultimately shake out.
So we may not have a good grasp, but it sounds like a lot of parties are moving, like, ready to move forward pretty quickly here. So as far as either banning clubs, banning players, or moving forward and starting the creation of this Super League, what is the timeline from here? Now that everyone has come out, the power plays have been played, what's next?
Things are going to happen fast. So next week is the semifinals of this year's Champions League tournament, and three of the teams that are in the semifinals are on this list of 12, you know, breakaway teams, right? So you've got Real Madrid, you've got Chelsea, and you've got Manchester City. And UEFA right now is threatening to just kick these three teams out of the competition this week. There's been one member of the executive board of UEFA who has said that he expects to have this to happen by Friday. So one way or the other, things are accelerating quickly, and we will know in the space of weeks how dramatically different sort of the soccer landscape in Europe is going to look soon.
How much are, you know, greedy Americans being blamed for this? Because I noticed that the board of directors here, you got five board of directors, and I look at John Henry, who owns Liverpool and the Boston Red Sox, the Joel Glazer, Man U, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Stan Kroenke, Arsenal and the LA Rams. How much is American sports and Americans being blamed for this one?
It does. It absolutely happens. There are absolutely a number of people who will take that stance. And I don't think that I think that that's not entirely correct, but it is certainly true that there has been a lot of investment in European soccer, not just from America, but from all over the world, for people who look at these clubs as investments as opposed to, you know, community trust, as they have sort of historically been. Now, that's not just Americans. And I think it's important to point out that, you know, you named three Americans who are vice chairs of the new Super League. The chairman of the Super League is Florentino Perez from Real Madrid, who has been a longtime owner of Real Madrid. So it is definitely part of the equation, but I think it would be unfair to throw sort of all of the blame at the feet of sort of greedy Americans.
Just most of it. It's fine. We'll take it. It's our fault.
Mike, we appreciate your time. And thank you for kind of laying it all out there for us. And as this story develops, we'd love to stay in touch with you and hopefully catch up again with you soon.
And Mike, I will have to tell you, Dusty's embarrassed to ask you this question, but he's actually, you better watch out, because he just started coaching his own soccer team. So this guy's trying to learn, what it's going to take to get to be a Super League coach. Yeah, so I need you to give him the 411. What is it going to take for him to go from coaching 6-year-old girls soccer to Super League?
Absolutely. Happy to do it.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Mike Goodman, CBS Sports Soccer. Look, we had a 3-3 draw this weekend. My official assistant coaching record is 0-0-1.
There were four goals.
Totally soccer. Huh?
Were there four goals on the field?
Yes, there were.
Well, then we have a long way to go. We got to get you down to two goals.
No. Look it, I'm already changing soccer.
Listen.
Super League got formed.
They're going to start with four goals.
Oh, blame America.
Big change.
All right. Hey, what does this all mean in American sports terms, though? Because we're actually already seeing the Super League in the rumblings of it being formed across our American sports scene as well. AJ and Dusty on the Fan. All right, we just talked with Mike Goodman, who shed a lot of light on that. The Super League. You've got Arsenal, Chelsea, Man City, Man U, Liverpool, Tottenham Hotspur, Atletico Madrid, Barcelona, and Real Madrid, Inter Milan, Juventus, and AC Milan. They're all going to just go Super League. So basically, the way I read it, like, you got 11 leagues in England alone, right? 11 tiers.
Yes.
And basically, you're like your Premier League and your Champions League. Like, you can work your way up and all the way back down. It just depends, like, on if you're good or you're bad. And he was breaking down how relegation works, right?
Yep.
And, like, I look at that and I go, I kind of am jealous of what's going on right now.
Okay.
Because fans actually have a lot of, and historically have had a ton of say in how those soccer teams or the football programs are all in the clubs are all run. Like, they've had protests and challenges when ticket prices get raised. And they're like, no, we're not going to go. And the team's like, ah, and they fold, right? And then you've had, like, it is very, like, it's part of your city. It's ingrained in your city, right?
Yes.
And I'm jealous of that. And, like, having this mentality of you can work your way up. Well, basically what these, especially the six from the Premier League in England, they're just saying, we're done, like, funding you guys.
Yep.
Deuces. We don't need you anymore. And that's pissing people off over there. And I think that it's, and I am kind of jealous of the aspect of, like, you can't just be bad. Like, there's always, like, you will be punished for it.
Right.
They'll kick your ass out of the Premier League, right?
Yeah.
So, like, the Pittsburgh Pirates, they'd be triple-A team.
Yep.
Because, like, if you suck, guess what?
Sayonara.
Yeah, bye. Mariners, see ya. You got to work your way back up. And the damn Hillsborough Hops could start at single-A, and if they worked their way up and they kept winning, were league champs couple years in a row, then boom, they go up to double A, and then boom, you can work your way up to triple A. Like, that would be cool to see. And there would be this punishment for not caring and not pumping money into your franchise for ownership. And that, to me, I'm a little bit jealous of that.
Yeah.
But what we're seeing with the Super League is we were already seeing it in our sports here in America, which is we don't, like, in college sports especially, the playing field is not level, and the Power Five are just going, leaving you in the dust. Bye.
Right.
You're not equal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think outside of sports too, you also see it, and, you know, I don't mean to draw politics into it, but I think it's this whole philosophical idea of sacrificing equity for profit. That, like, you want to create equity in these sports leagues because it makes it a better experience for fan bases overall. You could talk to a lot of NBA fans and they'll tell you once Kevin Durant joined the Golden State Warriors, they were pissed about the NBA because there was really no reason to watch games. You just said, well, they're going to win, so why do I need to watch them for the next year? And so it's this whole idea that, you know, there's also income inequality where people, you know, need to be presented with equitable solutions to be able to try to make it back up and to try to have a living wage. I mean, you can draw that same comparison to sports teams too. Like, the Bengals need to eat too. Like, they need to have some successful players, because if they don't, you know, there's a possibility the Bengals get sold because ownership just views them, you know, not a great profit.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's interesting that it's viewed, I feel like from, I mean, you could argue even all the way down to the youth level, but for sure from the college sports level and up, sports is, like, sure, you can say it's about community, it's about investing in the city and in your team and blah, 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 but it's about money. Mm-hmm. It's about making money. And you don't see fan bases doing the same things here, regardless of how super fan they are, to what we see in European soccer. And so there's an element of, not only if you're not making money or if you're not putting the money into your product, you're going to get relegated, but that is a great punishment when you do something wrong.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, LSU. Relegate LSU. For all of these sexual allegations, for all of the Title IX stuff that they covered up, all of these college programs, there's a punishment that is serious. More than just, we're going to take some titles away. We're going to slap you on the wrist. Oh, we're not going to actually fire. oh yeah, the coach who hasn't been here for 3 years or 5 years, however long Les Miles has gone, he's gonna be fired retroactively. That doesn't do anything. It doesn't actually change the culture.
No, it doesn't. And we see this like in college sports, especially. It's like kind of the closest thing because we have your FBS is already split from the FCS, right? Mm-hmm. And we know that. Now you have a clear differentiation between Power 5 and non-Power 5 amongst the BCS schools.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about this Super League over in Europe forming and how people are getting pissed off about it, but they're just taking a look and going, why? You know, why should we stick around? We've been talking about super conferences in college football for a while now.
And super team. You're going to tell me Alabama's not a super team?
Well, it is a super team, but we're talking about super conferences that would split away from even that Power 5 and be like, you know what? If for example, if you're just looking in the Pac-12, right?
Mm-hmm.
If Oregon and USC took a look around and they were like, I don't know, Texas, Oklahoma, Bama, Ohio State, Florida State, Notre Dame, Clemson, they're asking us to come and just make gobs and gobs of money. We don't need you.
Mm.
And what this is like the six teams from the Premier League, they're looking around at every other team in the Premier League going, well,
yeah,
do we need you anymore?
Yep.
And that is like that's what you're looking at when you think of these super conferences that we're talking about in college football. Mm-hmm. Like if they just want to pare it down even more and split the Power Five and trim the fat on that, and say, see a Rutgers, see a Kansas State. And I know they won the Civil War this year, but sorry, Oregon State. Sorry, Washington State. You've had success, but hey, we can take bigger revenue teams and really ramp it up even more.
Yeah.
Like that's the fear in like the American sports landscape of that happening, because look, you can't say it won't, because they've been operating under this form for 100 years now.
Mm-hmm. And when you look at the NCAA and how easy they make it to point out all the things that are wrong with what they're doing and how they're doing it and how unequitable it has been already,
mm-hmm.
It's like, well, I could absolutely see somebody coming up with this and creating a way. I mean, and now you bring in the name, image, and likeness thing. I mean, it's just sports are about making money. And at the college level, too, you just cannot tell me that it's different. And so anytime somebody has a chance to make more money, probably going to do it.
Yep. And this is where we looked at. And I asked Mike, I said, are the Americans getting blamed for this? Make no mistake about it. Like the owners of the Red Sox, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and LA Rams are on this board.
Mm.
And they've been in the ear of like changing we can make more money here.
Right.
We don't care if it's bad for literally everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good for us, to the tune of like they could get $400 million like that.
Yep.
That's a big change and big money in your pocket.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting because you think about soccer being the world's game, right? And how, I mean, that would impact the Olympics, the World Cup. You think about whether it's just going to be very interesting to see who blinks first between FIFA, UEFA, and then this Super League. Because if they actually put their foot down and say, you can't compete in the World Cup. Sorry, Tokyo, you're not going. That's actually more of a punishment, I think, than people really realize. Because in a lot of other countries, for a lot of other sports, you know, you have the NBA guys who are like, well, we'll see if I go, whatever. But for most of the world, the Olympics and the World Cup in soccer, that's it. I mean, that's the end all be all.
Well, Deshaun Watson, 22 accusers, and Watson's response is not up to snuff. Creep. Next on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.